are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we're powered by the SID Media. So we're speaking all things worship and technology, as well as controversies in worship, because we do know that as we evolve and as things change, there will be bound to be things that we ought not to do. And we saw during the COVID era, those two dreadful years there, where now things tend to be digital. Even people who didn't like to going digital, they had no choice but to go digital. Where now we tend to worship, you know, using digital means. So we are going to be speaking to my pastor here, Pastor Piri, to help us understand and unpack some of these things. Pastor Piri, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Zanele. I am well. How are you?
I am okay, my pastor. I hope you are well rested. You are preparing for the Sabbath. Ooh, did you cook? Have you cooked already?
Not yet. I'm actually thinking I'll fast tomorrow.
Because you don't want to cook. See you now. See you.
Exactly.
See you. Imagine. Ay, Madam Fungi, don't do that. Pastor, cook something. As we finish here, prepare something small there. Quick.
No, I think that will be done. Before the sun sets.
Yes, please.
We'll be ready.
Yes, please. Before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Let's pray. Father, it's been a wonderful week just learning about worship. And I know that these are not lessons that we can compress into a week. These are lifetime experiences. So just start these things in us, oh God, to begin to understand just how you want us to experience worship. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, let's start off with the technology part of worship. We know COVID has done whatever. Us, the younger ones, I don't know how old Pastor is, but us, the younger ones, I always say I'm young, even though middle age. But us, the younger ones, you know, we always on our phones, we always on the socials and all of those things, you know. How has technology influenced our worship? Or has it or hasn't?
Ah, that's a good one. So it has influenced our worship. First of all, it's managed to bring church to people. Because, you know, there was a time when we couldn't leave the house, there was lockdown and all of that. And it's brought church to people. And now, because more churches are getting online, we can easily send a link to a friend that would not typically come to church, you know, because there's an atmosphere at church that people don't want to be around. So even when you invite them, please come to my church, they're thinking you're trying to convert them.
Yes.
But you can easily send a link and then they tune in and join in the sharing. So it has enhanced our worship, because then now we're able to see other believers fellowshipping and be able to pattern our thoughts and say, oh, so this is how it's done in this church. So yes, it has influenced our worship in that way. But I think we will talk a little bit later about what that influence looks like on the positive and the negative side as well.
Yes. And as we were speaking about the whole issue of COVID, Pastor Wami, even now, even though now we're free to go anywhere, we can do anything, there are some of I nearly said some of us. There are some people where they would, you know, on a Sabbath, wake up and not go to church. They're like, I'll join in online, you know, because we now used to that. And online, Pella, you can log off at any time. And like when you're at church, when you stand up during the service, they look at you like, where are you going? You know?
So
do virtual congregations still have the same impact as physical ones? Understanding that now we're in the digital era.
No, they don't. I mean, most certainly, yes, we are a digital world. We've got netizens who live online, you know, they have their communities online. But with church groups, you're not having discussion groups online.
Okay.
You are tuning in as an end user watching a sermon on your own. And yesterday we were talking about the four areas where God speaks to you. And one of them is through people. If the people are not witnessing your life, how are they going to speak to it? One of the things I was thinking about today is Cain, who says, am I my brother's keeper?
Yeah.
So now if I meet you in town in a bad situation, I can't speak to it and say, hey, brother, this thing, because we don't have a relationship anymore. You don't come to church. We don't interact in person. So they've taken away that from the Christian experience. I mean, we are going to go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Do not forsake the assembling of one with another, as is the manner of some. because it is necessary that we meet together and experience the warmth that is found in community. And online church has taken a little bit of that. I mean, in as much as it has been beneficial to bring church to people, it has really taken away that human experience with other people. I don't know if that answers that question.
Yeah, there's a listener here. Listener, can you please expatiate? He says, maybe when a pastor, you'll get it. He says, but we engage only through at dot, dot, dot. Actually, I'm a listener, Mara. Can you add more flesh there? So I hear that, Pastor, you know, for example, as we are an online radio station, right? And we do have... We do have sermons and devotions. In fact, yesterday we even created a WhatsApp group. Please text us. We'll add you on the WhatsApp group. You know, mm-hmm. where we readily share sermons. We readily share prayers. We readily share devotions. We readily share everything. And because of we have phones, we have all this wealth of information there on our phones, on the tip of our fingers. Mm. So is the accessibility of online sermons, devotions, making us lazy to go to church for worship? Because, I mean, really now.
Mm. So, you know, what you've just said there is what makes the difference. Even this platform, it's an online one, but you have an option for people to engage. Mm-hmm. That's where growth happens, engagement. The verse we were looking at in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, which says, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern right and wrong. Mm. So you have to exercise something. Having learned through the sermon, how are you going to practice what you've learned? And usually when you're in community, it's a lot easier to put these things into practice. Mm-hmm. So you have this platform where there's an end user who's just listening. Mm. But then there's also you're sharing a number and people are messaging. That's engagement. And you're reading the message and responding to them. That's engagement. So there's the element of community. There's a back and forth in this community. Then you're talking of a WhatsApp group. That's what a lot of people don't have on these links that they join, because you're just joining as an end user without interaction with the people that are in church, in service. So you're not standing with them, you're not kneeling with them. You are in bed watching on your screen. As much as it is edifying your life, there's, I think later today we will talk about it, there's something that happens to you when you get into a certain position.
Okay.
All right. So, for example, you are praising God. Your hands are up because you are like, oh, God, this is amazing. Mm. Then you're in contrite. You're in humility. You're acknowledging the holiness of God. You're on your knees. So there's something that happens to you when you get into certain positions of prayer that moves your spirit to get into that position as well. But then if you're home and you're not joining in these exercises, let's stand and sing. Let's kneel and pray. And you're just sitting there at home, it's difficult.
Mm.
It's very difficult to move in the same spirit. So now then we are feeding the mind with godly information. But then our spirit isn't changing. So those are the people that Matthew chapter 7 comes to tell us about in the end. They come and say, but did we not? I attended every service. And then he will say, but I didn't know you.
Mm.
Like I didn't have an intimate relationship with you. It might be that case where people haven't engaged, that is missing in their experience. Mm.
So the listener here was just saying that, Pastor Uti, online, Uti, but we do engage online. In fact, we engage more online than we do when we are at church, because online, like, you can type amen, 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 as the pastor is preaching there, but in church, palace, it is whoop. We do not do that, you know. So what are some of the pros and cons, my pastor, of technology integration in worship? Yes.
So if I could speak to the listener's comment and then come and respond to
yes,
it.
Yes, please.
That engagement is good. You know, the typing of amen.
Mm.
And I can hear it's coming from the benchmark is at church we don't engage. And so I engage more online. But even then, the church situation is not ideal.
Mm.
The church situation must have us engage more in person.
Okay.
I am an advocate for a longer Sabbath school.
Mm.
Instead of the rushed one, you know, that's 45 minutes. And before you even start, you're hearing the second bell, like, oh, wait, we're just saying hello to each other. And just when you're getting into it, you're hearing the third bell and you're leaving, and you do more sitting to listen to a sermon than you are doing more engaging and talking to believers, so your life can be shaped. Before you know it, the divine hour is done and people are leaving to go home for lunch. So there isn't much happening. So I get the listener who's saying, I do more engagement online. Perhaps our churches should design worship in such a way that people have a lot of engagement on the sermon in person, so that people can begin to grow. Because the idea isn't just knowledge. It's life change.
That's what
faith is about. That's what sanctification is about. It's just not knowledge acquisition. It's life change. So how can we journey together as we change in our lives? So the pros and cons of technology. One, it brings church closer. You know, you have sermons at your disposal. You can type in whichever sermon it is you wanted to listen to, and it's most likely there because it blessed you at some point. Has that made us lazy? A little bit, you know, but it also depends on how you take it, because I listen to sermons as I'm driving, but that has never kept me from actually going to church. But then there's others who, I give the example of a hand that is cutting onion. A hand that's cutting onion, when something flies into the eye, no matter how much the hand wants to help, the eye will close.
Yes.
You know, so there are sometimes our churches are not very healthy. No matter how much you want to help, your approach is very toxic, and so the people will close up. So we must see that we are healthy people ourselves. So that when we are trying to help, people are really sincerely feeling, this is where I must be, because the correction I receive here is coming from a place of love. So some people are not lazy to come to church. It's just that now they know they have an option to listen to the sermon without being with the people. And so there's that. So our churches should really look, sincerely and honestly look into these things, so that people are not being wrongly perceived, which is that people are lazy and all of that. Maybe people just don't want to be around you because you gossip a lot, you know. And if that is so, then we must pray for sanctification to happen in your life so that people want to be around. So some of the pros are that churches come closer, resources are there for our devotion and our growth. Some of the cons are that now we are not interacting in person enough.
I think you hit it on the nail there. There is a listener who just texted saying word when you say, we don't want to be around you because, hey.
I mean, it's the man Mohandas Gandhi, who is quoted to have said, I love your Christ, but I don't love your Christians. He must have been onto something for him to have said that. He must have experienced something from us. And so, yes, technology is great because, you know, it's given us access to resource, but also it's taken us away from interacting with human beings. 1 Corinthians 11, which I shared yesterday, tells us, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But you can't imitate me if you don't see me. And the imitation is not imitating me when I'm preaching, because maybe you're not a preacher. If you're a preacher, then maybe you can imitate how I speak at the pulpit, because that's all you can see from the screen.
Yes.
But if you don't see me after the service, if you don't see me if you don't see how I'm interacting with people after the service, if you don't see how I'm interacting with my family as we are doing lunch, then you can't imitate me, because I may be there trying to imitate Christ, but you're not there to see because you are home. So we should enhance a lot of these interpersonal relationships even at church, so that young people can model their lives after the people that they're witnessing, in whom they see Christ.
Pastor, let's jump to the controversies around worship. I'm going to start with the last question. Is there a problem with the attire in the place of worship? So do we have regulations in the right way to dress? I know I know I took it there. I'm sorry. There's a particular listener. I know he's about to text. A network comeback. I know there's a particular listener who is about to text when we speak about clothing, but it's okay. Listener, you can text. Is there a particular way in which one ought to be dressed like when they are going to a place of worship? So this is outside of my worship, my pastor, when I'm at home, but when I'm going to a place of worship, does the way in which I'm dressed stop or hinder my worship to God?
Does it stop or hinder?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it does, but again, we come back to appropriateness of corporate worship.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're saying...
Welcome back, Pastor. We missed you there.
Thank you. I don't know what's happening with my network today. But yes, so even with dress, we must be considered. We must use judgment,
mm-hmm.
Right? The Spirit of God must speak to us.
Mm.
And unless where the Spirit of God is very dull and very faint in our hearts that we can't perceive Him, but we must be appropriate for corporate worship.
Mm.
So yes, there is an attire for corporate worship because you are going to be around people.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're on your own, you can dress up however. But even then... the Spirit of God will tell you, I could cover up. How are you praying like this here?
We were born naked. So we can pray worship naked.
That is true. But you do know that there was a sensation that Adam and Eve had after sin entered, which is still present with us, where you just feel like, I can't present myself like this before God. They went to hide to cover themselves. So that one is still a real experience. We just know, here, even as I'm kneeling, I must be properly dressed. So maybe you get a bathrobe and you cover yourself and just pray. Not that God is will blush at your appearance, but just for yourself. Because you see, I like to say that when we pray, we do it more for ourselves than we do it for God.
Okay.
Because He knows the end from the beginning.
Mm.
Before you even utter those words, He has already heard.
Mm.
That's what Isaiah 65 tells us, that while they're yet still speaking, I will hear.
Mm.
Before they call, I will answer. So you're doing it. The praying is done more for me, for my heart, for my spirit to align with. You're not telling Him new information that He doesn't know.
Mm, mm.
So even my appearance, I'm doing it more for my spirit, for my relationship with Him than anything, because He created you. In fact, He sees all of you. So yeah,
you know what I want, Pastor Nate, to our listeners. Pastor Peter is coming back at quarter past six, 18:15 tonight on Bible Perspective. We're going to be speaking more on worship. I want us, Pastor, to also touch on this later on, because I've heard people that, for example, women, even at home, not even in the church, at home, when it's now time for worship, you know, they would wear the head wrap. They would, if the shoulders are showing, you know, they would get a shawl and then they would cover, like, proper. And I'm like, Abel, where in the Bible does it say you must cover up when you're worshiping God alone? You know, but I want us to pack that later on there, but because it's a matter of also looking at, is there a way in which we should present ourselves when we are worshiping God?
Sales.
You know, not necessarily the dress reform, because I know dress can be something else. Even the hair speaks a lot. You know, how you look, your makeup. I'm a daughter. Some men, they don't comb their hair. You know, some, they comb their hair. That as well. If it applies to the women, it should also blah, blah. I'm that one. If it applies to the left,
it
applies to the right. Okay. So coming back to the controversies, my pastor. So that one we're going to touch on later on around 6:30 today. I get the conversation will progress, you know. So there has been, you know, changes in worship traditions that we have seen over the years as we evolved, so forth and so on, where we've heard sometimes the divine service starts at this time, sometimes it doesn't start at this time, sometimes you kneel, sometimes you don't kneel. Some of these things, they change. The issue of music as well, meaning that, no, you can't sing these ones, you can sing these ones, you can't play this instrument, you can't. It's a lot. It's a lot of things that are going through that, you know, a change is there. Do we struggle with that? Is it a matter of change that we do not want, or is it a matter of, the Bible was clear on the things that we should do on the Bible? So even if the music wants to change, but the Bible says, that whole issue of temperance, Don't make noise.
Mm. I think to a large extent, again, I'm speaking as me and mm-hmm. not as an entity or as an organization. I think that it is more preference than anything.
Okay.
Because, you know, when I go and witness worship in another location that I really enjoyed and it didn't have certain components of it.
Mm.
So when I come back home, I want to apply what I witnessed there.
Okay.
I begin to influence, we know, because we're such a political entity.
Mm.
So I begin to campaign and influence that these things change. And if my influence is strong enough, I'm able to pull people to my side and they begin to see light in what I'm saying. And they begin to conclude that this is the truth. This is the way we must go. To an extent, it's really just preference.
Mm.
I'll give an example with certain positions, for example. When I lift my hands up straight, it is interpreting that as surrender.
Okay.
When I kneel, my body, my mind is already interpreting that as submission.
Oh.
So when I get into those positions and I'm talking to God, I am in those positions in my heart. So it doesn't mean that when I'm trying to surrender and I'm driving, I lift my hands and I let go of the steering wheel. No, but that with practice, when I do this more often on my own, I can then walk like Enoch and be in a state of submission in my heart on my knees, but I'm walking down the streets and no one can tell. But the idea is that some of these things we have changed over time because, you know, preference. We've found this administered to us a certain way at some point. All these are as a result of sin having entered the world, that we can't agree to one thing. And so now we have all these controversies, each one what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible is clear about a number of things, about lifting of hands, about spreading of hands, about kneeling and prostrating yourself before God in worship. All those are in scripture. The discussion we now ought to have is, how does that look like in corporate worship?
Mm-hmm. Uzwile, Elder Derek, I'm calling him out. Elder Derek Uzwile, raising of hands is a sound of, it's a sign of sorry. Uzwile, Elder Derek, I know you are listening. You see, we shall raise them hands tomorrow foot too. I just had to call him out because it's on my case about the raising of hands. So tomorrow we are lifting up our hands in worship. Pastor, any closing remarks for this week's conversation on worship there? Anything that you would want, you know, our listeners to take? You can include the word raising of hands there. It's okay. I see he's responding, so he's listening. But any closing remarks on the issue of worship that we have spoken about the whole week?
I will throw in a few verses and then I will share my closing remarks. So Psalm 63 verse 4, 2 Timothy chapter 2:8, and Exodus 9:29 have us hearing about lifting of hands in prayer to God. In fact, Psalm 63 actually puts it that I will lift up my hands in your name. So there's nothing wrong with lifting up of hands, beloved of God. Worship is what increases the intimacy. I hope people tune in at 6:30 because we're going to get into a little more detail. Pastors have shared that the word knowing God is really an intimate one. It's a picture of sexual intimacy.
Mm.
And intimacy, I like to say, is into me see.
Mm.
You're opening up your heart for God to see,
withholding
nothing, keeping nothing from God. Not that he wants, not that he can't see, but that when you say it yourself, there's something it does to you. And that's what worship comes to be. So if in that moment I'm like, God, I want to lift my hands to you because the things you have done in my life are great. I was driving home last night and I was recording a voice note. And at the end of the voice note, I just became emotional because I was just realizing how much God has done.
Mm.
And I just started praying at the end of the voice note. It's unusual.
Mm.
You're recording a voice note. Where is this prayer coming?
Mm.
At the end of that thing, I was just realizing how much God has done. And I shared a prayer in that voice note. Because that's what God wants us to have.
Mm.
When he comes and he say, and you're saying, you know, there people were pointing to ministry and saying, oh, I've done so much. And he doesn't call them liars. Mm. They are right. They cast out in his name. They did exploits in his name. The only thing he says is you and I were never intimate.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew you.
Mm.
That's all he says to them. So you've got to be intimate with God, even in worship. Just open your heart up to God. Worship him as you said, so that he can correct it. The challenge is that when we have behavior police, we curate our behavior for church. But then when we walk out, we go back to our old behaviors. And God can't change what you don't acknowledge. But when you come to worship and you're sincerely saying, God, I'm a mess of a person. And this is who I am. This is how I know to worship you. Do better. He does come and he begins to change you. He makes your heart softer to listen to those things. So my prayer is that this week has just started something in people's lives for them to investigate worship and begin to just deepen their intimacy with God.
Yeah. Pastor, I'm going to ask that. Can you please pray for us as we close?
Let's pray. Eternal King of, I am so grateful that you allow us time. It is time that we will never get back. These 26 minutes we've spent talking, God, we will, and we've spent them trying to talk about what. My prayer is that, dear Lord, we've done a good job, even in questions and in the answers that have been shared. If we haven't, dear Lord, I'm big enough to correct where the error has been, and that your desire is for all of us to come to full knowledge of who you are. So I pray that you bless every listener that is listening now and anyone who will tune into this program later on the, that, Father, you will draw them deeper into an experience and intimacy with you, that they will come to know you, the only true God and Christ whom you have sent. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Piri, thank you so much for joining us. Till we chat later today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful.
Amen.
Right.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.